Well, good morning. Good to see everybody. I had several of you wanting to know where I was. I just took the Sunday off and went fishing and just goofed off. How many of you believe that? Well, if you don't believe that, I won't tell you anything else. Amen. No, I was preaching for Brother Emory King up a little north of Webster. He was celebrating his 43rd anniversary as pastor, same church. And I've known him all the years, great man of God, and they had a good crowd. They've had to fight the COVID fear up in the country just like everybody else. We missed a lot of folks this winter because they were still afraid to kind of get out of the house and come. It is good to see Brother Bob and Sue Pollen with us. There's Bob right in the middle here. Good to see these folks. They served the Lord with us here many years. And you've heard in the news that people are running from California. I'm sure Bob came back for other reasons. He and Sue came back for other reasons. But any reason to get out of California is good anymore. One of the biggest I know is the governor's still in place out there. They took a shot at him, but they missed. I was not surprised with all the corruption and crookedness that's going on. It's pretty hard to get them out anymore. But we're glad Bob and Sue back. And they just got back. I think you said last night, Brother Bob? Right. Hey, that's a good testimony. They got back after a trip like that, trying to get kind of moved back in, settled back in. But they love the Lord and they're in his house on Sunday morning. And that's good. Amen. Well, open your Bibles to the book of Revelation. We're going to go to chapter 18. We've moved up to this and kind of laid a lot of foundation and going to move on a little bit. I have been slow about it, but my, I can't hardly teach the book of Revelation because the news coming over the TV is fulfilling it so fast you can't hardly talk about it. And of course, I only watch Fox News. I lose my blood pressure when I watch the others. And I feel it rising on me. I knew some guys one time in the early years, got their shotguns out and shot the TV. That's the truth. I knew them by name. And it was sort of a joke, but I know how they feel sometimes, but shooting the TV is not the answer. But anyway, it's a mess. It's a mess. And it is fulfilling the Bible so fast. Truthfully, as a pastor, been preaching the book a long time, I am amazed that we have moved so deep into the situation before the Lord has returned. I really did think he would be here before now. It's honest truth. But he's not late. He's on time. He will come when it's right for him to do so. And I hate to tell you, but things can get worse and worse. Well, that's what the Bible says, isn't it? Evil men will wax worse and worse. We've all had our hearts go out to the Afghanistan thing, and then all the rest of it that's dumping in on top of it. Had a so-called top general in America, far as I'm concerned, guilty of treason. Amen. In the news, if you paid any attention to it. There used to be a time we would kind of look to the military as our hope, but right now, the leadership of the military is right in the same corrupt boat with the rest of the far-left politicians. That's too bad. We got some young men out of our church that's been in and out, and some of them still in the military, and it's pinching them right now to live up to any kind of convictions that they have in the Lord. You've been seeing in the news they're going to force the mandate of vaccination on them, whether they want it or not, and several of them have applied for religious exemption, but they've been denied. And basically being told, get out or take it or get out. And many people losing their jobs. Did you see on the news where the nurse for 17 years quit rather than take it? Now that's a little scary. You know, probably the average person that takes this, it's all right, and they get by with it. But it's a scary thing because we don't know much about it. Heard so much misinformation. We hear about folks that has had the vaccination and still got the virus later, that sort of thing. And it's a very, very bad thing when you get a full dose of it. The other thing that kind of gets me here with Florida, they're attacking our governor so bad. The far left crowd in Washington is attacking him so bad. He's done some real right things. And one of the things was to set up treatment spots for folks. Not just a place to get the shot, that's pretty common, but get treatment. So now the Biden administration is going to limit the antibodies that he could get. That's all political movement. There's no scarcity of them. All a political thing. It's not a political thing. It's a corrupt, evil thing. That's what it is. And it shows you, though, right where we're studying in the book of Revelation, we're studying now near the end of the tribulation period. You and I are living before the beginning of the tribulation, the official tribulation. There's plenty of tribulation around. But the great tribulation that Jesus talked about, biggest thing holding it back right now is just if the rapture took place. Look at your world around you. Who is the crowd resisting evil today? It's God's people. If they get removed, evil is going to flood in so fast overnight. I mean, it's going to be something else. God's people who are indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God are the restrainers against evil in this world. And when that restraint is removed, it's going to open the floodgates. We only see in the tip of the iceberg as it's going to flood in. I could say a bunch of stuff about that. We have been studying chapter 17 and 18, where we are studying about a city, a corrupt city. We called it a system because it is a city. But it is also the Antichrist system that has come in, moved in. And one of the amazing things, as we studied about in chapter 13, about the mark, the 666, isn't it amazing today how just in a sentence or two, the Bible says so much. In that sentence or two about if a man don't receive the mark, he can't buy or sell. Look what we're moving to right now. If you're not vaccinated, it's getting to the place you can't go in a place and buy or sell. Isn't it amazing? The vaccination itself may be good, but it's also being used as a forerunner to take control, to force whatever the government wants to put on you. And if the government's under the control of the Antichrist, then the mark will be something you will take, or you will not have a means of making a living. And all the terrible things. I think about this controversy, or no controversy, the spectacle, the awful thing that's happened in Afghanistan. Do you understand right now that that Taliban that the far left wants to say are businesslike and professional, their profession is chopping off heads. Did you see in the news this week where they even chopped off the heads of two kids, like 10, 11-year-old boys? Did you see that? They're systematically, house to house, hunting down Christians or those they can accuse of having helped our troops when they were over there. And they're killing them. Yet the far left in Washington is trying to tell us we got to accept them and cooperate with them and in all this stuff. Thank God there's some folks getting the news out, and a lot of our veterans have gotten together and gone over and rescued some folks and taken a good stand about it. And we ought to pray for them, support them any way that you can. Terrible things going on. I've said this for many years, that I could see the shatter of the tribulation period being cast ahead. You know, depending on where you're standing with the light, your shadow can be behind you or it can be in front of you. And the shatter of what is coming for real, the shatter is not the real thing, but you can stand by the road and let the big truck come by. The shatter of the truck won't hurt you, but the truck will if you get in front of it. And so the shatter warns you the truck's there. And you and I are seeing the shatter projected now that tells us something bad, big and bad, is on the way. Now, I'd love to think God's going to give us another reprieve. I thought under when Trump got elected, maybe we'd have a little reprieve, and maybe we did. Maybe a little test as how America would react to it. But if so, we flunked the test. And no doubt about that. So I don't know. I can't predict for sure. I want us to remember here in chapter 17, we were introduced to this city that sits on seven hills. We were identified it by its colors and its location and all of that. Now in chapter 18, still talking about the city, and we see a different side to it. The first side we saw in chapter 17 basically was the religious side. Now we're seeing the commercial side to it. And it is amazing today how big religion has become commercial. It's yoked right together with the commercial side in this world. And that's really too bad. Big religion, and especially the religion that's recognized by the liberal crowd and recognized especially on TV, it is amazing every now and then, you know, in some of their doctrine, they had some good things like standing against abortion. But then when Mr. Biden got elected, he was for killing the babies. So there was one or two of the religious leaders of his so-called faith or church said, well, he doesn't have the right to take communion if he's for killing the babies. And I admire him saying that because that ought to be true. But they found a way around it, didn't they? Found a way around it. There's the commercial side coming in again. What's expedience? What's right financially? And so he didn't change his position any. They found a way to make it work. Jesus warned about that kind of stuff. He warned about the people that would pretend they gave their money to the church or to the temple, sort of like in a trust fund, so they wouldn't have to take care of their older parents as they got older. You didn't know that was in the Bible? Look it up. Jesus had something to say about it, just as current as what you see going on around you today. Very much. Well, in chapter 18, it says, after these things. Now, if we go back into chapter 17 and we figure out what some of these things were, it says, after these things, and we've identified, of course, the city, its colors, its location. It was called Mystery Babylon. And called a beast. We studied all that. It has seven heads and 10 horns. And we found out in this chapter 17 that this woman that rides upon the beast, this harlot the Bible calls her a great whore. And that's the religious thing. Guilty of fornication and all of this that it describes. And then we find out that she had 10 horns. The beast she was riding had 10 horns, verse 12, chapter 17. That are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power for 1 hour. Often the tribulation period is spoken of as a short term, like 1 hour or 1 day even. We know the length of it, according to the book of Daniel, is 7 years, divided in the middle. The book of Revelation many times speaks of the division, 3.5 years on one side, 3.5 years on the other, or 1,260 days, and so forth. Anyway, we find these kings make war with the Lamb in chapter 17, down in verse 14. The Lamb, capital L, is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings. And, of course, they lose. Now, we're talking about near the end of the trib here. I think in the last, probably last 6 months, maybe even of the trib time we get down, last year of in chapter 17 and 18. And we see where this woman sits on many waters. That's talking about many nations that she'll be over. And they're called peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues in verse 15. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the head, these shall hate the whore. Now here we go. We have a government headed up by this religious harlot on a beast. And she rules in that government under 10 kings. Now I'm just very much abbreviating right now. We went to the book of Daniel and studied about the 10 kings. The 10 kings that will rule with her are we'd say, well, they're just men. Well, maybe not. They're a little more than men. Because we study in the book of Daniel that their seed will not mix with the seed of men. There's some different. Are they extraterrestrial? Devils? Yes. All of that, perhaps. And they rule with the woman, all that riding on the beast. That'll be the Antichrist kingdom that we're talking about. Now, as we get down to the end of chapter 17, God speaks to their hearts, it says in verse 17 of chapter 17. He have put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree, for them to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast. But for a period, says, until the words of God should be fulfilled. Folks, that's important. God's word is going to be fulfilled right to the end. Verse 18, and the woman which thou sawest, that great city is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now that reigneth over the kings of the earth tells us something. You read your history, and while you got different governments and different nations, you will find that there is a religious government that has ruled over the kings of the earth. You don't have to dig deep to find that. And it is still so today. The Pope today is still given credit for bringing communism down, but he didn't. Ronald Reagan was the main one that brought it down. You remember the wall falling and all of that. But they gave the Pope credit. I was teaching my college class this week, and of course we're into dispensational truth and prophecy and so forth. And the Vatican, with all of its old-time doctrine that you can study in your history books, and we're studying this sort of stuff that we are right here. If you'd go back, and you can do it, you can read their doctrine today, but it's covered up a lot in America. Does anybody remember, not the Pope that's alive now, but the Pope that was before him, I believe it was the one before him, made a trip over to America. They had a great big rally. I believe it was out in Denver, Colorado. Fabulous crowd of people. And, of course, he was speaking. Like I said before, the news media gives him all that coverage. And he slipped up and used some of his doctrine that you're not supposed to use in America, but it's pretty fashionable still in Europe. And it's called the sale or the granting of indulgences. You understand what the word indulgence means. Somebody said, I indulged him, I allowed him, I let him do this, I gave him this, gave him a freebie, so to speak. You understand that. How many of you would agree with this doctrine right here? Let me explain what it means. It means that I plan, let's just take this coming weekend. And I shouldn't say this because I'm supposed to be going again this weekend preaching for another preacher boy. We've had all these preacher boys that graduated our college, and some of them are saying you promised to come, so I'm fulfilling some of it. So I'm not doing what I'm fixing to give you for an example this weekend. But suppose I was planning on a big drunk this weekend, a big party, doing a lot of bad things. Suppose I was planning that this weekend. Then I come to you as a church and I said, now I'm going to do this weekend, got it planned, but I want your okay on it. So I want you to grant me an indulgence because I'm going to give a little extra money in the offering today. So I want to buy this indulgence. So that means I'll not be held accountable for this sin I'm planning on committing this weekend. Now, I'd like to think the average Baptist church wouldn't accept that. I fear some of them might today. If I was going to put in enough money, I fear some of them might. That's the doctrine of indulgence. As far back as when Martin Luther, who's given credit for the Reformation, even though he certainly wasn't the only one, when the priest would come by and they'd have a rally in the city, and the priest would talk about indulgences and he'd sell indulgences. Also, this doctrine runs parallel with it of your loved ones that's died and maybe going to hell. you can pay enough, you can get them out of hell. You can get them prayed out of hell if you can give enough. And one of their speakers, and Martin Luther used this, if you want to read the history, it's all written, it's all there. Martin Luther, when he was a Catholic priest himself, and when he rebelled and turned on the system, he revealed it for what it was, there was one fellow that went around, held the rallies in the villages, and he would get up and preach the indulgences, and he'd get up, preach, give something to get your uncle or your aunt or your mom or your dad or whoever you loved out of purgatory, which isn't in the Bible, by the way. But anyway, the fellow had a kind of a jingle that he said when he preached this indulgence and praying the dead out of hell. He would say, as soon as the coin you're going to give, the offering, rings in the plate, that soul springs from hell. So he was preaching, give to get that loved one. As soon as that coin hits this plate, he'll spring out. Now, you say, who would believe that? Isn't it amazing that people believe that stuff? Even today, college-educated fellows with PhDs still turn in their brains at the door and walk in and listen to that stuff as though it was true. Are you understanding me? I know I'm on radio and I'm getting in trouble and I'm getting too much on this, but boy, if I had 3 hours and really cut loose, it would be something. But in all reality, that's the bad doctrine. That's a terrible, terrible bad doctrine. You say nobody practices it today. Yes, they do. I told my college class, I said, I was hired as a serviceman, service company. I was riding one day with another man. He was fairly new. And we were heading down South 27. And, of course, I'd been saved and was not a preacher. I might have been by that time a deacon. Maybe a youth leader in the church by that time. So I was trying to witness to him about the Lord. And he said, oh, that reminds me. He said, when you get down here to the Lake Wells, he said, you turn left here and you go by the church. And he told me where to go. I said, why? He said, I got to go in there. It was Friday. I said, what are you doing? You know, I was trying to. He said, I've got to go in there and I've got to give. He didn't say give an offering, but that's what he meant, give some. I said, why? He said, well, I got to buy an indulgence because I'm going to have a big party this weekend. Of course, I landed on him, didn't know Bible like I do now, but I landed on him. But I did. I pulled up in the church parking lot, and I waited till he went in and gave his offering and come out. Now he can party on the weekend. Right here in Polk County, I put my hand on the Bible. What I just said is true. Now, that's the corruption of the religious harlot with the kings of the world. And finally, she's going to rule a government. And probably under the false prophet, and she is going to rule with 10 kings. Those 10 kings are unique when you study about them in the book of Daniel. Their seed don't mix with the seed of men, and something happens. God changes their heart and tells them to turn on the woman they've been serving under, the woman representing the government. So the Antichrist kingdom is going to be started out religiously. He'll come in probably on an election of a vote. We read about him in Revelation chapter 6, where he shows up as the first of the four horsemen. And he shows up as a deceiver with a bow, no arrows. He don't come in and conquer by war to start with. He's, so to speak, voted in. He comes in peddling peace. And almost every politician tells you he's going to bring in peace. And so his kingdom will begin to show up. And then something happens here, and God turns the heart of these kings to bring down that government. So it says, after these things. Now remember, he sees another angel here We found about the seven angels back in chapter 15 that come before the throne of God. They've got the vials of the last plagues or wrath of God Almighty that he begins to drop on the Antichrist kingdom. So we have him judging in chapter 17 and 18 the kingdom of the Antichrist. And so we read in verse 2, he cried, the angel cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. Now watch your words carefully. Don't say Babylon the Great is going to fall. It says it is fallen. So in chapter 17, we saw the fall. It is fallen. It says it is fallen again. And is become the habitation of devils. That tells us something about who was in charge and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. The birds in the scripture, you have good birds, clean ones, and you have the unclean. Birds often in the scripture are tied into demons or evil or the devils. For instance, when the good seed is sown, the birds of the air pick it up. Well, that's the devil doing that. A fellow can listen to the radio. He can come to a church like this. He can hear the good news about Jesus. But the time he gets out the door and gets to his car, he don't remember nothing. The devil is good about picking up the seed, destroying the seed, so it don't come forward. But the news here is that Babylon, the system, religious system, governmental system, kingdom of the Antichrist, represented by a city, it's fallen. It's fallen. And it says, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Word fornication's mixing that. That's illegal. We generally think of it sexually, but trying to tie in and use religion government-wise for evil, that's fornication as described here. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, sold out their character, their integrity, and sold out the truth. Then it says the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now think about that. You see it tied together here. The merchandise, the commercial end, the profit making that's going on. So the nations are concerned. God's going to judge them. They've committed fornication. And the merchants of the earth, we think about Wall Street and all the big business and all that stuff that is going on today. It is a scary time right now. And the sad part with you and I as just citizens, or better named peons in this socialism that's coming, we're just going to become the peasants, the peons of the communist countries in the past. One time, a lot of those folks had something before socialism and communism moved in and owned it all. It's getting real close to owning it all now. Did you see this week where if you have as much as a $600 transaction in your bank and the IRS wants to come and see what you use that $600 for, the president, the White House gave them permission, they're legal now to do that. That was in the news this week. That's control, folks. Total control. Not only control, but spying to the nth degree of knowing your business, all about it. Also mentioned in some of it, and in fact, some of the reporters, very few of them have guts enough anymore to ask the right questions. But one reporter did ask, would there be a church exemption? And the answer was no. Did you get that this week? We are moving into the Antichrist kingdom, total control. And of course, the way you control people is you control their money, their finances, that sort of thing. I'll park on that because I could for a long time, and you got others that can speak to it better than myself if you go to the right places. But notice it says in verse 4, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Now, God makes a last-minute cry saying, I'm fixing to drop judgment on this thing. You better come out of it. And my advice to you today, if you're falling into this sort of thing, you better come out of it. Now, it tells us something else. There are some saved people in some very bad, corrupt religious institutions. Yes, if they cut through all the garbage and get down and trust Jesus personally, they'd be saved. But they're not saved through the baptism acts. They're not saved through the communion acts. They're not saved to confessing in a little hole to somebody on the other side. They're not saved through those acts, not saved through their works. But if they really got personally met Jesus, and I think I know some cases where some folks really got born again, they won't leave the system because that's where their loved ones are at, their families at, their business connections and all that. No, I think they should, and here's the warning. Now we're into the tribulation period, and we believe the rapture's already taken place and God's people are out. Now it's a question of who's going to cooperate with the Antichrist, who's going to resist him, who's going to cut through the religious order and follow it. If there's some really born again people in it, God says, come out from among them, my people. So there must be. There must be. And it says that you receive not of her plagues. Now, what's the plagues? The plagues is the judgment of God. These angels that we saw in chapter 15, seven of them, were the last plagues or the last vials of wrath of God being dumped out. Now, there's always questions because we hear about it in the news and so forth. They claim the general that war in China was doing so to prevent a nuclear war. That's always in the news. That was not true at all. But anyway, that was in the news this week. If you want to, and I don't have time, I'm out right now. I've got 30 seconds. If you want to understand about these plagues, and later on, read a little more detail, you can study what one of the plagues is. It's nuclear. And you read it in the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, verse 6. And it says, here's the plague. And it says, the plague that kills animals and people, and they fall dead, and the flesh comes off their bones before they ever hit the ground. Zechariah 14, verse 6. Time's up.